sermon this morning comes from Genesis chapter 2. Please turn with me there. Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all of their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for your word and for your truth. We thank you, Father, that you have preserved your word these many thousands of years and you have brought them to us. And we plead with you now, God, to open our hearts to know you better, to understand you more, and to see how you would change us. May we indeed be a people who are being renewed by your word and being renewed by your spirit, so that you will be glorified in our lives, so that we will be transformed more and more into the image of your Son. So here we are, Father. Here we are for surgery. Here we are for cleaning. And we ask for you to do this work. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back in my more adventurous days, I told you my friends and I would go rappelling. So when you take a rope and a harness and you bound down a cliff or you go off of a bridge. Oh, my best friend and his brother, they started this competition where they would race off of the 70-foot bridge. Diving off, not good enough to go down back first, but they would go face first. Dive off of this and see who could go the fastest and break last before they hit the railroad tracks below. They were nuts. Well, my buddy decided to practice one day, my best friend, and he got these new gloves. And instead of the leather gloves that we normally wore, he got these pretty isotoner gloves. He thought, these fit nice. These feel good. So he gets up on the bridge and he stands and he's facing straight down. He bends his legs and he springs and he dives off of here. And he goes as fast as he can, the rope through the harness. And just before he gets to the bottom, he pulled in. And what he discovered was these isotoner gloves didn't give any friction. 70 feet, my friend slammed into the railroad tracks. His glasses flew off of his face, spinning away, and he bounced 4 feet into the air. Now, what my friend was guilty of, he took something that was for one thing, these isotoner gloves, just to feel good, just to look good, and he used them for something that was not their intended purpose. And he suffered some consequences of that. We see here in Genesis chapter 2 that God sanctified the seventh day. He sanctified a special day for rest. What sanctification means, in this sense, is a setting apart where it's not like everything else. It's different from everything else, and it is for a specific purpose. God set apart one day in seven for you to have this rest. And oftentimes you think, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not terrible. It's not terrible that God took one thing and made it special and wonderful for you to run to Him and enjoy Him. The Sabbath is actually something beautiful. It's actually something wonderful. And the Christian Sabbath is the first day of the week. In the Old Covenant, they looked forward to something. They looked forward to Christ all through the Old Covenant. And they looked forward and they would have this rest. And now in the New Covenant, we start from this rest. You start from this rest that you have in Christ. And as you go through your week, you look back at what Christ has done. So God sanctified this day. He set it apart and He also blessed it. He blessed a Sabbath day. He blessed a rest. And that blessing is for worship. That blessing is for us to look at what Christ has done, to look at what God has done, and to respond to Him. To respond in worship, to respond in thanksgiving. So as we consider this Sabbath rest, the call this morning is to set this day apart. Set a day apart for rest and for worship. And this is all for the glory of Christ. Part of the ways that we do this is we have to get our heads around this and not look at this as a nice option, but actually look at it as a command of Christ. When we look at verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which he had done. In Exodus, the Ten Commandments, he gives us this command. Work 6 days and rest one day. Now, should we take this? Do we take any of the other commandments as suggestions? Do we take any of the other ones and throw them out and say that they were fulfilled in Christ? Well, he fulfilled them in the sense that he paid for it when we break it, but we still have the obligation to obey our Creator. We still have the obligation to obey our Lord and to obey our Savior. Now, he's also the God who saved us. When the introduction to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, then God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now, this isn't something that just applies to the Jews. Not by a long shot. You who are in Christ have been rescued out of the house of slavery. You have been rescued out of the world and you have been given a freedom. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, for he delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The command of that Christ. The command of that Christ who has rescued you, who has freed you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of his Son. So how eager should we be to obey in light of this Savior and in light of this command? I have an uncle, a great uncle Charles, who's from the same legacy of my grandfather Amos. He was tough, he was strong, and when he set his mind to something, he would get it done. Well, he could build things, and he could weld, and he could design things. And he got in his head one day, and he wanted to make a giant sliding board that went into the lake that the family had built. This sliding board was and is 30 feet tall, made out of steel, complete with a spiral staircase that goes up it. And it launches you into his lake. So before you could go down this incredible sliding board, it gets you up to speeds of 30 miles an hour. Before you could go down this sliding board, you had to hear Uncle Charles's talk. And you would sit on the sliding board, and he'd said to me, now listen, boy, when you start going down this thing, if you lose your head, don't grab the sides. You grab the sides, it's going to tear up your fingers. He said, listen, boy, if you get scared, don't open your legs and press against the sides, because it'll cut them up. He said, listen, boy, you hold on to your ankles, and you don't let go. Because when you get to the bottom of the board and it levels out, if you're not holding on to your ankles and leaning forward, it throws you back and you slam your head against the sliding board. Now, some people listen to Uncle Charles, and they would hold their ankles and you'd hold them white-knuckled and you'd be scared as you shot down there 30 feet at 30 miles an hour, and you would fly 10 feet before you ever hit the water. But some people didn't listen to Uncle Charles. Some people got scared halfway down, and they would open their legs and push against the side trying to slow down, and it would scratch you up really bad. They would grab the sides and get their fingers all tore up, and when they got to the bottom, they didn't lean forward, and they would get thrown backwards and slam their head on the sliding board. See, we had learned, though, when new people went down, you stood at the end of the dock ready to dive in and save people. Now, Uncle Charles, did he give us these commands and these rules because he was mean? Did he make the sliding board because he was a jerk? Now, Uncle Charles made a great sliding board because he wanted to see us have a good time, and he gave us these rules because that was the safe way and the good way to use this sliding board. Well, how about the Sabbath? Did God make this day because he's a jerk? No, he made it because he loves you. Did he give you these rules and these commands because he wants to see us all hunched over holding your ankles? No, he wants to see you enjoy it and be safe and have a great time. Now, what a blessing is the Sabbath. When you think that God all of a sudden said, okay, this day, don't work. And we're like, oh. You know, how much do people enjoy a day off from work out in the world? If they say, the boss says, hey, you have a day off, it's woo-hoo-hoo. You should rejoice in the Sabbath in the same way. You don't have to work. And think of when you have old friends that you haven't seen for a long time and you want to get together with them. I have friends that I have lost for years. I would love to have the opportunity to get together with them, to sit down, to hear what's been happening in their lives. On the Sabbath, that is the day that you have the opportunity to go and sit down with your God, to hear what He has to say. What a blessing. The one who has made you, the one who has loved you, the one who has saved you, the one you look forward to seeing face to face. See the Sabbath as this wonderful blessing and the command of your Creator. Now there is a certain humility that has to come into place with this thing. Because we are eager, and a lot of times we're like disobedient children that don't just want to do what we're told. I find my children are much happier to do things if I don't tell them to do it. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, if you give them this command. But there's a humility involved as we respond to God. When we think that He is the one who made you, when you think that He is the one who saved you, when you think that He is the one who holds you together, how should you respond to His commands? Eagerly and happily. And Isaiah 55:9 says, as for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This past week, I got to go with my dad and fly to Florida and pick up my grandmother, and we drove her back. When we were taking off from Pittsburgh, we were rocketing up, and we get into the air, and the pilot announces that we are 10,000 feet up. Wow. And I looked out, and I thought, that's what 10,000 feet looks like. That's really something. And then as we flew more and more, then we got to Tampa, there was a storm system. And we weren't in it, but I got to see it. And there were these huge billowing clouds that had this texture like a marshmallow. When you roast it and it gets those bubbles on it, that's what it looked like, a giant, giant marshmallow. And having this idea in my head of 10,000 feet, I was able to look at that storm system and think, that thing looks like it's 10,000 feet. That cloud looks like it's 10,000 feet. And I looked and I thought, that looks like it's 10,000 feet off of the ground. And I'm getting this idea in my head of how big the heavens are, how big just our earth is. And God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And God gives us this command to take a day for rest and worship, and then we start rationalizing and thinking, well, yeah, but what about this, or what about that? What about needing to do this? And we make up all these excuses to not keep it. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so His thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways? I imagine you've all seen children that don't obey. You've seen the ones who just blow off parents and grandparents and every and any authority figure and throw their little tantrums. And now, does that get at you? Does it really bother you? It does me. It really bothers me. And you also have seen the children that say, yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. And they go and obey. Well, as we consider the Sabbath and God's command, which child are you? You know, I know I'm the rotten one oftentimes. I come up with excuses and I come up with reasons. But what does God want to hear out of us other than, yes, Father? And then cheerful obedience. And as seeing that child is a blessing, so you will be a blessing to your Heavenly Father, and you will be a blessing to your congregation and your church around you. So humble yourself before God. Make sure that you are the humble child that is the delight to your Heavenly Father. And show your love for Him. Next, see this as a part of God's perfect order and plan for you. We look at the Sabbath, this day of rest, and then it is a part of the natural order of things. This was in creation and a part of creation. It's not something that was created and made and built up as part of a ceremonial Jewish system. It's none of that. This is when God made the world, He rested and set this example, and He blessed that day. He blessed the day for you to run to Him and to rejoice in Him. See, really, none of the Ten Commandments are this unnatural structure. You think when God said, "You shall not commit adultery," all the people were like, all of a sudden, like, "Oh, we've been committing adultery all this time, and now we're not allowed anymore." "You shall not murder." "Oh, now we can't murder. We've been murdering, and now we're not allowed." It was none of that. The lying, "Oh, now we can't lie. It's been okay to lie to this point, now we can't." But when He said, "Take one day and rest," just like all the other commands, "You shall not murder," everyone said, "Well, that makes sense. Yes, we can't murder. Don't take the Lord's name in vain." "Yes, well, that makes sense. We know we ought not do that. Don't steal." "Right, we know. Okay, we won't steal." When He said, "Keep the Sabbath," people were like, "Oh, no." They're like, "Right. That makes sense. After all, God, when You made the world, You made it in 6 days, and then You rested. We're supposed to rest too." It wasn't a surprise to anyone. It wasn't some ceremonial system. It's the way that God made the world. It's the way He created everything. You see, you were made for a day of rest. We see people who work 7 days a week in different jobs, and they're dragging around, and they're so heavy, and they're so tired, and I don't know what's wrong with me. Did you rest one day? Because God made you for that. You were made for a day of rest. You were designed for a day of worship. So embrace it. This is a part of the natural order of things, the natural order of this world. Embrace it and rejoice in it. So sanctify the Sabbath. Set the Sabbath apart. You see, it is actually a beautiful thing and a wonderful thing. I hope you're getting the idea that I like the Sabbath, and God does too. Set it apart. That's what sanctify is. Everything over here is used for all this other stuff. 6 days you work and you do all these things and you pursue your own pleasures. But one day it's taken. And that one day is about God. It's just like our giving. You know, everything we have, everything He's given us, all the money that my family gets is from God. He's given me the strength to work. He's given me the talents to work. And He asked for me to give back a tenth. So we do. That's all His anyway. All the days are His. All the days of His. All 7 of them. And He says, "One day, take this one day and spend that with Me." It's a beautiful thing. It's a day to be set apart. As we talked about things not being used for their set purpose, I was thinking, well, what shows that something's supposed to be set apart for something beautiful? And I was thinking of a wedding dress. You know, a bride goes and she looks and she picks out her wedding dress and takes it. Would you expect to see her the day before the wedding playing football in it? No, you wouldn't. That's absurd. That wedding dress is for something special. That wedding dress is for that next day. That wedding dress is to look beautiful in. That wedding dress is to walk down the aisle in. So the Sabbath is something set apart for something special, for something specific, and for something beautiful. So set it apart in your mind. Set it apart in your hearts. Set it apart in your lives. Now, although the Sabbath is part of the natural order of things, it does take preparation. You do have to prepare for the Sabbath. Just as you buy gas for your car before it runs out, you have to do certain things to prepare for the Sabbath. I hope none of you drive around and you drive until your car runs out of gas. And you say, "Oh, well, now it's time to get gas." Maybe you do sometimes. But you don't make it a continuous thing. So as you look at the needle on your gas gauge and you think, "Oh, I have to get gas before I run out," look at the Sabbath coming. And prepare for it. Get ready for it. One of my buddies in seminary made the argument when I was talking about keeping the Sabbath and making it holy. He says, "I'm not going to run out of gas on Sunday," when we're talking about not shopping, because you're paying other people to work on the Sabbath. He said, "I'm not going to run out of gas on Sunday. I'm going to get gas." I said, "You should get gas. But go ahead and do it on Saturday. It's not that hard, but it does take effort, and you do have to put forth the effort. Even in Exodus, before they received the Ten Commandments, when God blessed them with bread from heaven, did they collect it on the seventh day? They didn't. It was already understood that there was a day for rest. They collected a double portion on Saturday, on Friday, so they would be ready for their day of rest. So do your work on Saturday. Do your work all during the week and have that day set apart and prepare for it. And commit yourself to considering God and His works on the Sabbath. It's a beautiful picture when you look at Genesis and God does all these great works and you imagine Him forming the mountains and you imagine His fingers going across the sky and making stars, making giant stars. And He goes through and He does all these things and separates and He makes a sea and you've got all these great animals running around. And then it says, and then He rested. That word rest there is actually Sabbath in the Hebrew. And then He Sabbath. And it wasn't because He had sweat on His brow. It wasn't because He was tired. It was because He made everything and He made it good and He was done. And then He stops and He looks at His creation. He looks at what He's done. You can think of an artist putting all their effort and all their time into making this painting. And they make this beautiful painting, and then when it's done, they stop back and they step back and they enjoy it. Well, God, He creates everything and He steps back and He sees it as very good. And He enjoys this great work that He has done. You. And then on the Sabbath, on your day, you as part of this painting, you step back and you look at everything that He's done and you marvel at the great and beautiful works that He's done in creation and in your fellow congregation, how He's changed people's hearts and working in people's lives. And you marvel at this and then you look up at the artist and you marvel at him. How great is this day? How beautiful is this day? To rejoice in your Savior and to rejoice in your God. Now, we talked about the Ten Commandments and that each day is created holy. And as we consider God and consider His works and us as one of these works, we should take some time to look at our hearts. I'm actually going to point to the Ten Commandments for a second. As you consider, have you put anything else before Him? You know we do. Anything else that we run to, we place in front of Him. As you consider, have you taken His name lightly? Have you used His name lightly? As you consider the Sabbath, have you kept it holy? As you consider that we are to honor our fathers and mothers, how often have we blown that? As we consider, have we hated anyone? Makes us guilty of murder. As we consider marriage and have we sanctified and have we kept our minds pure in light of our marriage. As we consider, have we ever not spoken truthfully? As you think, have you ever coveted? And we look at this and we consider the guilt that's on us. And as you're considering your God, consider your Christ. Consider that Christ paid for all these sins. On the Sabbath, consider your great salvation. Consider what has been done for you. Consider how you have been loved as Christ laid His life down for you. This is a great day for that. He appointed it to be kept holy, that man in it might consider the excellency of His works and consider your great salvation. So delight yourself in the Sabbath and delight yourself in this restraint. People think the Sabbath is a restraint, and it is. There's things that you shouldn't be doing, obviously. But straight restraint isn't always bad. When we go to the amusement parks, I always want my sons to go on the biggest roller coasters that they're allowed to go on with me. I want to experience it with them. I want to enjoy it with them. And both of them always ask, does it have that thingy that comes down and holds you in? And that's the criteria for them. If it's got that thingy, they'll go. And it is a restraint, but is it a bad restraint? It's not, because when we're on that roller coaster, they're loving that thing. They're holding on to it and they're clinging to it. Cling to your Sabbath. cling to it. It's a good restraint created for you. Embrace it. Love it. Love it as you rejoice in your Savior. Love it as you rejoice in the works that He's done. My buddy that jumped off that 70-foot bridge, he hit those railroad tracks. His glasses flew off of him and he bounced 4 feet in the air. The really amazing part about that story is when he came 4 feet in the air, he pulled his legs up underneath him and he landed on his feet. We call him Spidey. Did he take those isotoner gloves and run back up to that bridge and jump off again? No. He sure didn't. He repented. Do you know what repent means? Repent means turning away from something you have done. And he only wore leather gloves after that. You know, as you look at the way you've used the Sabbath, I'm going to call on you to repent. My buddy experienced a beautiful grace when he bounced 4 feet in the air and wasn't broken and wasn't dead. Do you know that the way we've treated the Sabbath, you have experienced a beautiful grace to this point? We have desecrated the day. We have not kept it holy. I want to read a beautiful promise for you that comes from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and from speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, this restraint comes with a great promise that God will meet with you. He will love you. He will give you new strength and renew you. And you will be blessed. So the call this morning, is to set apart the Sabbath. Use it for rest. Use it for worship. And delight in your Savior. Pray with me. God, thank you. Thank you that you give us this day. Thanks, Father, for being the great boss that says, hey, you get a day off. Thanks, Father, for being the loving Father that also says, spend it with me. Hear my word. See how I have loved you and see what I have done for you. Father, forgive us for our sin of desecrating your day. Father, thank you for the grace that you have shown us, the mercy that you have shown us, and not allowing us to enter into judgment. Thank you, Father, that Christ has paid for our great sins. Father, give us hearts to repent, to spend a day in worship, public and private, and spend a day in loving you and loving your people. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.